Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM channel 141, 96.3 HD2. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Father's Day is just a couple days away on Sunday. And tonight we are just talking about what it's like to be a father. It's a chance for the fathers who are with us tonight to sort of sound off, get things off their chests. And that includes me. And we're doing that tonight with our guest, Mark McKinnon. He's an actor. He's a small business owner. He's a new father, an eight-week-old young daughter. And Eric Smith, he's also a father and a husband. He's been married for 44 years, has four children ranging in age from 50 to 34. So we've got a, and I'm somewhere in the middle there. So we're just talking about fatherhood. Eric, I wanted to get to that point about stress. Man, whether you're a father or not, just in life, you're under stress. Now you throw in there, if you're married, even if you're in a good marriage, there's stress. You start dropping children into the mix, you really got stress. I mean, I remember when my kids came along, someone had said to me, he says, okay, be prepared to, I'll see you in about 20 years when you then start to get some sleep. And then you've got the stress to make sure you're bringing in enough money, to making sure you're doing what you need to do for your children. So let's talk about that. That stress can be heavy, yes. And what do we do with it? How does it affect us as fathers?
Very. Mark had started talking about aligning himself with other individuals that you can rely on. And you want to be careful who you share with. And you want to make certain that they're in a proper position to do so. You don't want anyone just readily agreeing with you and not checking you if you're out of line. Mm. And so part of that in dealing with the stress has allowed me to increase my faith and be a part of men's groups in my church organization. I attend Kingdom Fellowship AME Church, and we have an outstanding men's group. I'm also a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. And so I have other achieving brothers.
So is that why we have you on the show, Eric? Did you think Harold was going to be hosting? You know, I've had a couple of you Kappas on here this week. I'm waiting for an A5 brother. Mark, you wouldn't have to be black and gold, are you?
I'm not.
Let me go back to Eric. I don't know what's going on. I think Harold is organizing this show from afar somehow, some way. But I'm sorry, and I'm undercutting your very important point about those you have to have around you to help with your stress. So continue. I'm sorry, Eric.
You really do. Like I said, sometimes you have to be very, very careful about who you share your disappointments with and who that individual may be, because you want to align yourself with individuals that will give you some good advice, some good sound advice, and then check you if you're out of line, as I said. One of the things that the fraternity has done, a young man came in, young father, and he started a young father's initiative so that he could get a lot of the younger brothers around him who have small children, and then they could work on some of those components together. And it was a great idea from that perspective. But, you know, you're just so immersed in the fact that now you are married, you're a family man, you have children that you have brought into the conversation, into the family whole. You're looking at what society has determined you should be, which is the head of your household. And you, as Mark said earlier, may not have had that training or modeling about what that is. And so you go about and you're doing the best that you can, and you're getting the support where you need it from those different organizational structures.
Mark, man, I got to hand it to you that being a new father, and from what I've learned about you, your line of business, you're an actor, not a stable profession, right? You're a small business owner. Man, what is it, like 80% of those go under? Mm-hmm. Not saying that George will. So let's throw all of that in. And now the pressure of making sure you want to be the best father you can be. Man, you got some boxes to check, Mark. You've got some boxes. And so having to handle, you probably have had stress before your daughter came into your life trying to do what you wanted to do.
Absolutely.
So what are your thoughts now that you have this child and you've got all of these other great things that you're doing, but it takes a lot of work?
Absolutely. It does take a lot of work. And the challenge wasn't always money necessarily, you know, because I've been blessed to be on some very, very high level shows. My acting studio is doing really good. But it's more so the schedule. You know, I'm in a line of business that things can happen tomorrow, like the very next day. What is that like when you have to pop up and just say, I have to be in New York tomorrow, or I need to be in LA, you know, next week, and we were supposed to go to this doctor's appointment next week, you know? So for me, that's what's been the stress, has really been just balancing my schedule and, yes, making the money and making the income and making sure the business is running effectively and staying booked, but also just making sure that I don't feel like I'm absent from the home. You know, that's always my challenge. It's like, okay, yes, I'm out here making the money, but I only got to spend 2 or 3 hours with my family today, you know, besides sleep outside of, you know, so that's what it's been. But I will say when I first found out that I was having, you know, a child, another level of just provision and going out there and making sure that all my streams were flowing, it just really kicked into gear. As soon as I was told it, I was like, just something in me just went to everything that I do and was like, how can I kick this up? It wasn't a matter of going finding something else. It was a matter of how can I take what God has already blessed me with and increase. And literally in a matter of 6 months, like everything just changed completely. And I give that credit to my daughter. You know, when I found out she was coming into this world, I said, there's another level of thinking that just, I can't explain it, but it's just another level of thinking that just kicks into gear. And next thing you know, I'm looking up like, how did I get here? How am I here now? You know, so for me, that's kind of what's been the stress of it, is just really that balance.
Yeah. And just trying to find that work-life balance, right? And I know we're always trying to find that with or without children, but in fatherhood, Eric, it's even more of a struggle. I know for me that, you know, that balance is getting out of my office, right? That's always been, you know, it's kind of been a silo for me, that whatever's going on, good or bad, you know, if I'm looking at stuff, watching the game, doing some work, writing bills, doing whatever, that you find it's very easy to kind of get in a space where, you know, you almost forget the other people are in the house. And now we're talking about, you know, wife, kids, or anything like that. And that's a hard thing sometimes, I think, for men, because we kind of get into our own space and we're I think sometimes we're good. And then you look around but everyone else isn't good. You know, you're in your space, but you got to remember where everyone else is. So that work-life balance for you, was it easy for you to kind of handle that? Were there difficulties? Were there obstacles for you in getting to that place?
Yes. That's the easy answer. What we did, and that we as my wife and I, she challenged me with regards to that, because I could do what you said, which is to get in that space and get siloed and close the door and do all of those things. And then having to step out of that to say, hey, there's other folks here. My wife had the privilege of staying at home, you know, doing the early years of my children as they were growing up. But sometimes she would tell me, you know, I've been with the kids all day long, so I need an adult conversation. And checking from that standpoint. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was really good. From that perspective. So yeah, it's been helpful, but I've had a good partner in this journey. And so I'm not saying that everything was hunky dory, because there were some ups and downs and some challenges that we faced, but we persevered, we forgave, and we made it through. And so now I can sit here and say, you know, I've been with the person that I love, that I'm going to be with for the rest of my life. For 44 years, we've been together totally for 49. So it's been a long time.
Okay. Show ends, and we're gonna end it right there. That's where we're gonna stop. That sounds like a drop the mic moment. and so, you know, we used the term in the beginning, you know, fathers being able to sound off, but it's really just a way of saying, you know, just whatever's on your mind, what's on your chest, you know, things that maybe we don't necessarily talk about. And I think one of them, you know, we tend to hold things, And if there are things, say, that we, you know, would want to say to our spouses, and this might be an interesting place to say it, you know, if we haven't said it before. But I think there's sometimes consistent things that we want to say to our spouse. Like, hey, you know, I'm just tired and I'm trying to do this. Or, you know, this is why I'm doing this, to try to bring in some more money for that. Do you find, Mark, and I'm not sure how long you've been married, that there are things that you would want to kind of get off your chest with your spouse that you hold on to as a man, as a father?
Yes. Well, we've been married 7 months now.
Oh, and boy, you've got newbies everywhere. You're a preemie all over the place.
Life has changed in the past year, whole life.
Yes. All right. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Indeed.
My wife, so she had the honor of like raising her nephew, you know, prior to us dating. You know, she raised her nephew since he was about 6-7 months old, all the way up to like him being 6-7, you know, so she had that experience of being able to do all the little things it takes to raise a child. I didn't have that experience, you know, so sometimes if I was to have, you know, a good talk with her, it would be like, look, you got to be patient with me. I'm not just going to get it right away the first time. Like, please be, and I'm going to make mistakes. I know I'm going to make another mistake, and not, you know, taking that as, oh, like I'm failing, but more of like, you know what? He's trying. And she's very supportive. And my wife has been a phenomenal partner and is a phenomenal partner. But I like, that's just something that, like, if I was to have that conversation, it would be that, like, I'm doing the best of what I know how, and I'm actually learning from you. You're teaching me a lot of these ways of raising a child.
That's such a great a point, Mark, that, you know, with fathers, it's going back to that point where I was saying that, you know, we're really just winging it. And I think as fathers, sometimes we have that extra pressure because you want to be the perfect father. You want to do things just right. You want to be supportive for your wife because, again, they've carried him for 9 months, right? Their bodies are trying to bounce back. You know, they've got maybe postpartum depression, some of it diagnosed, some of it not. But I think a lot of times as fathers, we don't have that outlet to say, hey, man, you know, we're a little scared. We feel like we're under pressure. We're not sure if we're doing the right thing. And Eric, you're the vet here, but I can tell you, I had that, you know, I remember, man, when my daughter was born, I was in the delivery room and I didn't even know how much stress I was under. You know, I was in there. And when they gave me the scissors to cut the umbilical cord, my hands were shaking so bad I couldn't cut the cord. I had to grab my other hand. And I don't really, didn't see myself as a person who, you know, couldn't have myself under control. But I think I just had no idea just in that moment and the bigness of it, right? Of what was on me now as a father, that I was just so tense in that moment. And so, Eric, you know, you talked a little bit about, you know, you've been with your wife now 49 years. And for our listeners that are out there, is there some advice that you can give them, the best kind of conversations to have with your spouse in terms of what you're trying to do as a father and that you all can work together?
Communication. If there's anything that I can offer as a word of advice, is be as communicative as possible. And that's the big things and the little things. The challenges that we have, and you identified those earlier, is that men tend to hold stuff in. And sometimes you really do have to have that release. Otherwise, you'll drive yourself crazy. Whole host of conversations that I've had, you know, very violently by myself in the car driving somewhere, and how I could have done it better or differently or said something different from that standpoint. But you have to come back. You have to learn how to ask for forgiveness and how to say I'm sorry to move it forward. You know, because as Brother Mark said, you know, we don't always get it right. I'm learning this. So if I'm saying something in a tone, tell me. You know, we're not arguing, we're talking. And so that'll bring me down a notch or two. Just communicate as much as possible.
There was this recent article that was out that was saying fatherhood is good for men. It's good for them. It helps us to be more compassionate. It helps us to be less selfish. It helps us just in so many ways. It talked about, you know, in today's society, you know, most women now are working moms. And so then the men are working fathers, but the men really need to be there to help the mothers. Mark, in your 2 months, and again, you know, you and I haven't been in it that long. When we think about fatherhood being good for men, have you felt that in your 2 months? Can you see that? Can you see where there's a truism in that?
I can, because I feel like when I hear the word fatherhood, I think of identity. And I feel like the role of a father is to give their child their identity, to give them direction. So I feel like so far in these 8 weeks that I've been a father, that along with my wife, we've been giving our daughter her identity collectively together. So for me, yes, I do agree with that.
Yeah, I definitely, I've said before, of all the holidays, you know, Father's Day is actually my favorite. You know, I don't really want to do a whole lot, but I feel like it's really just the role. Mm-hmm. But, you know, other than let me grab something to eat, usually the U.S. Open is on during Father's Day. Once I get my food, everybody else can leave the house or go wherever you want to go. And then I'm in my corner doing my thing. But I also wanted to talk about, you know, we had our categories, and I wanted to talk about fatherhood and our roles in the community, whether it even matters, and especially as Black men, right? We know what we can do, what we should do in the community. But I wonder if being a father and having that experience as a father informs us our role in the community different, however we play that role out. And I bring that to you, Eric, because I think having the experience with fatherhood does really inform how we put ourselves out there in the community, whether or not we're volunteering, whether or not we're working with children, because we really have that experience with our own children. And we know the import of that, not to say you can't do it if you don't have kids. So where do you see our role as fathers, and especially Black fathers in the community?
You're an example. You never know who's watching you. And it's always sometimes a real pleasure to have someone come up to you and say, I've been noticing you and really appreciate how you, you know, deal with your children and how you did a certain thing. And so that role in the community plays an important part. I mean, it starts with, first of all, being that father and letting folks know that you are going to support your children no matter what. It starts in the school. A lot of times, if we don't involve ourselves in our children's academic and school in those early years, those formative years, you know, you don't know what's happening from the school side of it. So actively engaged in PTA. I did that because I wanted the school to know that I'm involved. And so that if my children are not doing what they're supposed to do, you know, call me. And so my children understood that from that perspective. And then again, my engagement with my church, my engagement with my fraternity, and my active, you know, volunteering role throughout the community, feeding folks, you know, food kitchens and doing whatever, walking the streets and picking up paper so that they can see that, you know, I want my community to be as clean as anyone else's community. And so I will pick up the paper from that standpoint. So it's yeah, there is a demonstrative role that you have to convey and display for your children to see, because you want them, again, as Mark and you were both saying, you know, to experience that and then and display that throughout their years.
Yeah, you know, Mark, when we're in the barber shop, we're in the sports bar, maybe on the basketball court, playing flag football, you know, we're talking, right, as men. We're hearing what's happening either in our individual lives or what's going on in the community. What are you hearing? What do you feel about what's happening in our community, just from your vantage point as a married, young Black man who's also a father? What are your thoughts on what's happening around us?
One is just when you deal with like law enforcement and being a Black man, you know, like that's always in the conversation, whether I'm playing basketball, whether I am in a barbershop. Like, it's always going to be talking about law enforcement and making sure you're doing the necessary things to stay alive. And that's what's crazy about it. Not to just get out of the ticket, but to absolutely stay alive. And that's a problem. You know, that's a real problem that I know we're not on this show to talk about that today, but
it's no, that's okay. You go there. You can go there.
That I feel like is something that I don't want to have that type of conversation with my children, but I am, you know, and if it's happening to us now, imagine what's going to happen when she's in high school and she's at that age where, you know, you're driving now, you're being around police a little bit more because of, you know, you're out with friends and whatnot. You know, just making sure I have to remind her, like, just to stay alive. And it's not just the minister, our young ladies, too. I just saw a video the other day on YouTube where a young girl got shot. You know, mm-hmm. So it's just like, it's a shame that that's what it is, but it's important. But just even going back to your thought on community, one of the things that my mentor, who's also my bishop, Bishop Joe Peebles at City of Praise Family Ministries, one of the things that he always told me was be mindful of not letting the community come before your family. Mm-hmm. You know, very easy when you get involved in so much and you're helping people and you're attacking your purpose that you can lose yourself in that so much that now your family is dying. They're suffering because your time is not there. You know, so that seed was planted in me very early at a very young age and over the years as I grew up. So now right away, it's very easy for me to say no to things because I have to give this time to my family. You know, my wife, she didn't get to see me but a couple of hours this week. So, you know, let me make sure I'm taking time with my family. I will cancel a class if I have to, because I want to make sure that I'm with my family.
And Mark, you, as I mentioned, you're an actor and you have an acting studio that you run.
Yes. McKinnon Acting Studio.
Yeah. And I was talking about community and your life and your experiences. How does that inform what you do professionally? You know, we're talking about community, you know, our lived experiences oftentimes then informs what we produce if you're in a creative field like that you're in.
Yeah, acting is all about transparency. You know, so my life experience, what I've gone through, whether it's emotional high or emotional low, whether it's anger, whether it's happiness, all those things affect my work. So as I'm getting into my characters, I'm getting to know a character, I'm seeing how my life is parallel to my character's life. And that's what makes a character believable, is really being transparent about your own experience. You know, how are things in my home? How are things when I'm around my friends? How is it with my parents? All those things affect what I bring to a character. So that's how I balance those two. I'm always very observant of everything that I'm going through. Even this interview right now, I'm taking this in because one day I'm going to have a character where I'm going to have to talk to, you know, be on a radio show. I'm going to have to talk about being a man or being a father. And I'm able to take that and add that to the character.
You know, Eric, a lot of fathers are not planning to be a father, and they end up being a father. You know, I wanted to be a father, planned it. You know, I knew my kids were coming. But sometimes they, you know, sort of just pop up and they're there. And as a man who's been a father for 50 years, have you had the opportunity, because Mark has talked about this mentoring and needing a mentor, and we all do, even if, you know, our fathers are around. But in your role, as you mentioned, in your fraternity and your church, have you found that you've been a mentor in that way to other young fathers, or have needed to be?
Absolutely. Because folks are looking at you, particularly if you have a particular role or position. So they're looking at you from that perspective. You know, again, I'm gonna have to bring the fraternity back into it, but we have, you know, our Kappa leaders, and these are young men in elementary and high school that we mentor. You know, how to tie a tie, how to, you know, dress for success, some of those things, how to be in a particular position where you're the president of your young organization and all of the parliamentary procedures that you may have to go through. So teaching those aspects of what it's like from a mentoring position. And then, you know, having someone that being available to the young man so that if you are having some issues or crisis, there's someone you can always call on that's going to give you some fair advice on how to proceed.
You know, Eric, just that small thing, but I think it's such an example of something small, but who's to show you when you said how to tie a tie. And Mark, I was thinking of you with your dad not being around, at some point we got to learn, we got to put a tie on. We can't just keep wearing a clip on. Right. We might start off with those at some point. Well, I still don't know how to tie a Windsor knot. And my mother taught me, actually, my father was around, how to tie a tie. Who taught you how to tie a tie, Mark?
My best friend, someone in the church. So when I was coming up, you know, he was very fashionable and he told me how to tie a tie. And it was right before a service. We had like a special program that was going on and we were supposed to wear our ties and it couldn't be a clip on. And he had to show me. My first time learning how to tie a tie was the Windsor knot. So I didn't know how to tie
ahead of it then. Yeah, that Windsor knot, man, that's a thing. Yeah, I think so. I got it one time and I could not remember it after that. Never had Windsor knot after that. Yeah.
Yeah, so but, took you know, me longer to learn.
Yeah. Was that something, even though, Mark, you know, coming up without your dad being around, that even hit you, even that you even thought about, or did it not hit you until it was time, like, hey, man, I got to put this tie on and I don't think I know how to tie a tie. Who am I going to get to show me how to do it?
It was the tie, yes, but more so shaving. Like, something as simple as shaving. I had a roll one time where it was a military roll, and I didn't know I had to clean shave until I got to the set. I'm thinking it was going to do it for me. They was like, no, you got to go shave. I'm like,
wow.
Okay. And I do what I've seen on TV, and I thought I did a good job, and it was nice and bare, and everything was cool. But then the next day, all these bumps came.
Oh, look, Mark, I was about to say that black man shave, man. If nobody showed you, you were in trouble.
I was in trouble. That movie, the inconsistency.
Those curly hairs.
One thing to the next was completely different. You saw all these bumps, you know. But yes, but like you said, like the tie and like the shaving, those little day-to-day things. That's because we taught us to be a man, but what about the daily movements of a man? You know, when you're home and you're in the bathroom, you know, when you're at home, you just sitting on the couch. Like, what are those when you got to cook in the kitchen? What are those father-like things that I don't know yet because I wasn't the young man in the kitchen looking up to my dad and seeing what he's doing there? What is he doing in the mirror? I didn't have those opportunities.
Wow. In the last couple of minutes, you both have girls. I think, Eric, did you, well, you got three boys and one girl, or is it the other way around?
Three girls and one boy.
Three girls and one boy. So we got four out of five here. So, hey, dads. Hey, black man father. Hey, we've got these little princesses. It's different. Mark hasn't had a chance to experience it yet. I don't know if Mark plans to have more kids, so he's only got one right now. Mm-hmm. But you and I both have had both pair, and they are different. And as I mentioned earlier, I do think we father them different for good or bad. What's advice you would give out there for fathers, Eric, in terms of being a father to daughters?
Loving them. I would say show them the love and be the type of man that you would want your daughter at some point or daughters at some point to be a part of. And so being available for conversations, and I'm glad that I have my wife because she can pick up a lot of that slack on that side of it. But occasionally there are times when they will come to dad because they want that dad experience from that perspective. So I would say just letting them know that you love them immensely and that you're there for them and you'll support them in whatever their needs are from that perspective.
In our last couple of minutes, gentlemen, again, we call this sort of a sound off segment and I've asked questions and led the conversation. Is there anything that you may want to offer? And you don't have to, because you may have given me everything you had. Before we leave this conversation just on fatherhood and anything you'd like to share, I'll let you go first, Mark.
I would say my advice to someone out there, you know, is that you and your spouse or you and your partner who's having a child together, you are a team. You guys are not there to come against each other. You're there to come together. So allow your child to be the reason why you are coming closer. But also make sure you put each other first. I know it's very easy to say, okay, yeah, the child is here. Let's put the child first. But if the parents are not good, then the child can be raised in a household where they see division from the very beginning. So I'm all about just showing that example of this is what it's like to be together. No matter how challenging life is, we're going through this together.
And Eric?
I couldn't agree more. Great words of advice. Be the family that you want it to be, and you have a choice in how that should look. And so one of the great things that I really do love about speaking with young married couples is telling them that they can shape that marriage to be what they want it to be. They have the opportunity to do that.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much. Mark, you've got a film coming out, right? And tell us a little bit about it quickly and how folks, if they want to see it, how they can do that.
Yes, yeah, so it's a TV series on Paramount Plus called Mayor of Kingstown. I'm a recurring guest star on the show on Paramount Plus. It's starring Jeremy Renner. Really, really great thriller. They're on season 3 right now. So it's currently out. They release one episode per week. So this week will be episode 3, but you can binge watch the whole first 2 seasons as well.
All right. Sounds like a winner. Maybe we'll watch it. It's up. We can watch it on Father's Day. I talk about watching golf. I may have to watch it.
Yeah, you can watch it on Father's Day. Oh, yeah. You can stream it any day now. Like, you can check it out on Paramount Plus.
Sounds like a winner. He is Mark McKinnon. Mark's an actor. He's a small business owner. He is a father of a 8-week-old. And Mark, again, a newlywed. Congratulations on all of those. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Been an honor.
And he is Eric Smith. Eric's a father and a husband, father of 4, and married 44 years, been together with his spouse for 49. I get that right, Eric?
Absolutely.
And congratulations on that. Both of you, Mark and Eric, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your openness. Thank you for sharing. And happy Father's Day to both.
Thank you. And same to you as well. Congratulations, Mark, on success.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate that. Thank you all.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. That's the Daily Drum for this Friday, June 14th. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. For all the fathers out there, have a great Father's Day weekend and have a great night.